listening to TBR Radio, brought to you by the Barnes Review. Now, the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show with your host, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock.
Hello, everybody. Returning with me today is a regular guest, very welcome on the show, Dr. Eric Karlstrom. And today we're going to talk about weather warfare as state-sponsored terrorism. So I'm going to bring him up right now. Eric, are you with me?
Yes, I am. Hi, Andy. Good to be with you again.
Yeah, well, it's always great to have you on the show. Now, before we start, you've got a specific, because you've got several different websites. So can you run through the websites you've got? As the regular listeners know, I always include all of these in the post for the show. And so if you could go through the weather warfare website at the end, because then we can lead from that into the subject. So please go ahead.
Yeah, you know, after a 30-year teaching career as a physical geography professor at three different universities, I left my job, I retired, and in 2011, and I really, you know, a train has a certain amount of momentum. You know, they call it inertia. You keep doing what you do and going where you go. You get in a rut, I guess. Anyway, I was in the research rut. And I actually enjoy it. And I use then the time that I've had since then to develop websites that I had already started. Two websites that I had already started as a professor were 911nwo.com, which we'll be referring to today, and naturalclimatechange.org, which we will also be referring to today in our discussion. I taught climatology, physical geography, soils, landforms, what's known as physical geography, and also human ecology, basic, you know, man-earth issues. And then my other websites that I've developed as well more recently are, well, I guess my erickarlstrom.com website I've had for quite a while. That's my music site. I've always been playing music and enjoying it as a hobby, and now more seriously, I hope. And gangstalking mind control cults.com. I started about a year ago in response to the fact that I realized that this is a huge issue. And then the water issues in my valley of Colorado, San Luis Valley, got me researching another site, San Luis Valley waterwatch.com. So I have five websites keeping me quite busy, and then my music, of course. You know, it's a pattern that I developed long ago, working on my master's, playing music as a kind of a foil to book work. You know, I'd study for a couple, 3 hours, and then I'd play my banjo for an hour, go back and forth. So I still do that. And so those are the sites. And specifically, I'd like to talk about, you know, geoengineering today, also known as weather warfare or environmental warfare. This is coming out of a long 70-plus year history that the U.S. government, the U.K. government, and others as well have been developing these weapons of war, using essentially the Earth as a weapon, weaponizing the atmosphere. And this has a long military history, so a long and very interesting military history. I've documented that. I documented that in a 2011 a PowerPoint that I made for a panel discussion at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco. I was invited for this panel discussion on man-made climate in the skies. That was the dumb title, but then I give the subtitle, or playing God with the Earth and the Atmosphere. And didn't get a chance to really go through that PowerPoint then, but I would like to refer to your listeners to it now, and yourself. This PowerPoint called Man-Made Climate Change in the Skies is on my naturalclimatechange.org website, and it is under the heading of Geoengineering Weather Warfare, and it gives the history since... Well, we have to kind of give a nod to the Royal Air Force, 1943, when they dumped a bunch of chaff, which is aluminum strips cut to a quarter of the wavelength of radar, And then that chaff can be dipped in, fiberglass or something like that. They dump chaff over Germany before the bombing of Germany. It'd be the saturation bombing of Germany. And the reason why this is, near in World War II, the reason why they dump the chaff is that radar is completely foiled by this. Again, it's the quarter of the wavelength of the radar about. And so then the Germans were defenseless. They couldn't see, quote unquote, the incoming aircraft. So weather warfare goes back, to World War II, and even also the Royal Air Force did an experiment over Devon, England. You might have heard of it, called Project Cumulus, when they seeded a bunch of clouds. And what happens when you seed a bunch of clouds, putting a bunch of little condensation nuclei like silver iodide in the atmosphere where there's already a lot of moisture? This gives the water vapor more places to condense, more sites to condense. You get more water droplets and you get more rain. And they brought on tremendous deluges and flooded the city and, did a lot of property damage and a number of people were killed. So there's a long distinguished history. And, of course, the United States took up the ball right after World War II. And we can look at the history of the patents. We can look at the history of the laws. We can look at the history of the statements by famous individuals. This is what I've done in my PowerPoint on my naturalclimatechange.com or .org, excuse me, website. And then I've got a recent post on my 911nwo.com website entitled Hurricane Harvey, which, of course, just happened about a month ago, was weather warfare and state-sponsored terrorism directed against the American people by the U.S. government. So that kind of lays out the territory that I hope we can discuss. And I wanted to refer people to those two articles. If people go to 911nwo.com and then they click on War on Terror and they scroll down a bit, they'll find this article, Hurricane Harvey, was weather warfare and state-sponsored terrorism directed against the American people by the U.S. government. And there's a bunch of YouTubes and articles, and then I write some things. But I think if people kind of go through this, the materials that I've selected, they'll get a sense that how it was done and who done it, and maybe a little bit why it was done.
That sounds fascinating. And funnily enough, Eric, I actually lived in Devon in a place called Seaton, where I wrote The Synagogue of Satan Updated, Expanded and Uncensored, and In the Name of Yahweh. I went there for 18 months and I did that full time, the research and the writing, putting it all together. And funnily enough, Seaton is, a lot of people won't have heard of that, but they will have heard of Lyme Regis, which is the last town in the county of Dorset, and then you've got Seaton, which is the first in Devon, and then next to that you've got Sidmouth. So I was right in the middle, and Sidmouth and Lyme Regis, they were, if you wanted to live there, you could be paying about £700 a month to rent a flat, but Seaton was the runt of the litter. It was still by the coast, but it was about £450 I think I was paying. A nice place to live. And it's interesting you talk about the weather warfare and the experiments there. I've seen things on the internet, someone sent me about these actual patents that you refer to for weather warfare technology, so it proves that it does exist because they've actually taken patents out on them. I'll hand back to you. You talk us through however you want to start the subject, if you want to start off with its development, or over to you, any way you wish to tackle it, Eric.
Well, I think it does help to throw in the personal here, Andy. The fact that you know Devon and whatnot. I mean, these are places where people live. When I was a professor, of course, all these events are unfolding, and unfolding now at a very rapid rate. All these false flag terror events, Las Vegas happened just when I was first starting to discuss Hurricane Harvey. So it's just one after another. It's like a succession of trauma based mind control shock events for the culture, so that everybody's, very kind of in a state of dissociation and therefore suggestible, blah, blah, blah. So there's a lot of psychological warfare here. But there is also a lot of physical damage and loss of life and property. And, of course, the disaster capitalists love this. Now, there's a book by Naomi Klein called The Shock Doctrine, The Rise of Disaster Capitalism. I think it's 2008 or something like that. And she mentions that a lot of the kind of PSYOP mind control, trauma-based mind control techniques are actually used in this new kind of phenomenon, disaster capitalism, whereby the state, the apparatus of the state, the technologies of the state, maybe used by private corporations because they're often in partnership, will be directed to create a disaster. I mean, Rahm Emanuel, of course, the ex chief of staff of Obama, and then went on to be the governor of Illinois, said. Or was it mayor of Chicago? But anyway, he said, you know, you never let a good crisis go to waste. And what I mean by that is that it gives you an opportunity to do things you couldn't do before. Well, this is the doctrine of disaster capitalism, which is if there's a crisis, the big boys come in and they redesign the economy, or they take over the land, or they buy the land cheap, or then they sell it off to their buddies and they, you know, develop. Well, as I say, I mean, this impacts people. I mean, I went to the Lower Ninth Ward in New Orleans, which of course was completely obliterated by Hurricane Katrina in 2005. It's a black community, and you know, it still looks like a war zone. And I've been to Joplin, Missouri, where the huge F5 tornado two came together at the edge of the city and went on the ground. 14 miles straight on the ground, took out one or two blocks width or swath of houses, complete disaster. And of course, you know, a lot of property damage, a lot of people affected and hurt and killed. And then in come the FEMA trailers, and in come the FEMA boats in the case of Harvey. So you have the problem, then you have the reaction, you have the 1-2 punch. And all of this is, I'm arguing, state-sponsored warfare.
And also, Eric, just sorry to jump in, but very quickly, just to point out that the victims of Hurricane Harvey have been told that they won't get any aid if they boycott Israel. Are you aware of that? Have you heard about that? That's it. That's well, in the, you know, it's in the form that they fill in, apparently. I saw that online.
Well, that's a very good observation. I mean, I also got an article recently that, you know, a bunch of, you know, police chiefs from around the country are being sent to Israel to be trained in the war on terror, you know. And well, let's throw in a couple more facts. I mean, back in the 70s, according to our friend Tix Mars, who was an Air Force officer back in the 70s and 80s, you know, he knows from personal experience that Israel got the new technologies that the United States was buying and paying for in the Defense Department before the Americans did. And we also know that Israel gets the information from the NSA, all this metadata that they collect from people's phone calls and email communiques, et cetera, goes to Israel first. So all of this, I think, proves the point that you and I were able to, I think, pretty well establish a couple shows ago, which is that Israel and the Jews control America. So when I say the United, when I say weather warfare and Hurricane Harvey are state-sponsored terrorism, that begs the question, who owns the state? And of course, our nation was set up to be owned by the people. But this is the very same question that Anthony Sutton asked in his book, the Secret Establishment, and he talks about the history of the Order of Skull and Bones. And of course, we know that the Order of Skull and Bones is, you know, founded in 1832, is the American chapter of the Bavarian Illuminati, which is a very, very powerful Jewish secret society that wants to take over the world, or wanted to take over the world. Now, of course, it's morphed into 1,000 heads. But yeah, so who controls the apparatus of the state? And I'm glad you brought up that point, because I do believe that Israel and the Jews that are in America, the Sionim, you know, there's about eight, according to text, about 8 million Jews in America and about that many in Israel. And there are a couple, 3 million elsewhere. This is the official census, but I think that's radically underestimated. And so America then becomes, as Michael Collins Piper calls it, the New Babylon, controlled by this financial elite, you know. So the military, I think, has been controlled by this financial elite, you know, Wall Street, City of London, Jewish financiers, et cetera, for a long time. But we can get down into the specifics of this thing, because there's a lot of commonality between what has happened since World War II in the fields of mind control and the fields of weather warfare. I mean, these are very, very high priority Manhattan projects, you know, very, very secretive. Of course, Manhattan Project, we you know, the United States developed the atomic bomb during World War II with complete secrecy. 30,000 people sworn to secrecy, and they kept a secret. Well, we've had all these secret mind control projects and all these semi-secret other projects, and now they are, of course, being unleashed on us. And the weather warfare, my gosh, you know, the Weather Modification Organization began in 1950. So even in the late 40s, the U.S. Had, you know, again, the private-public partnerships of the military-industrial complex was working on this and, you know, doing experiments like in Devon, England, here in New Mexico, you know, causing a, you know, tremendous deluge by seeding the clouds in I think, 1949. And then the Weather Modification Organization starts in 1950. And now it's a viable corporate enterprise. There's organizations that will steer hurricanes for you. You know, and in 1962 to 1983, this is really all people need to know on this subject. The U.S. military conducted experiments on increasing and decreasing the intensity of hurricanes, and it's called Project Storm Fury. Okay, 1962 to 1983, 21 years, and they learned that they could augment or increase the intensity and the velocity of the winds, et cetera, of hurricanes, you know, at 30%, and they could knock it down by 30%. Well, I'm sure now we can do more than 30% either way. And you think about that. Well, okay, if the military had the capacity in, you know, let's say 1983, conservatively, to decrease the, you know, the intensity of a hurricane by 30%, why wasn't the military operating as these big hurricanes like Katrina and Harvey and Irma and whatnot make landfall? Well, in fact, what we see is just the opposite. We see these hurricanes being juiced up by all kinds of technologies, such as, you know, well, we don't do so much cloud seeding per se. We still do it, but now we call it chemtrailing. You know, we put the aluminum and the barium and the titanium and the strontium and all kinds of little particulates, again, called condensation nuclei, in the atmosphere. We pump enormous amounts of water vapor into the atmosphere with all kinds of water vapor generating machines on land and on sea. These are, you know, called, of course, now you've got the water vapor meeting the condensation nuclei. And then what happens when that occurs is, I taught climatology, this is what fuels a hurricane. A hurricane is fueled by what we call the latent heat of condensation. Now, let me just explain this for a second. Just take a second. It's, you know, but it's important to know this. So what fuels a hurricane? Okay. In nature, what fuels a hurricane is that there's a lot of evaporation over warm ocean waters, you know, in the subtropics, like, say, 80 degree Fahrenheit surface temperatures and higher, causes, you know, natural evaporation. Then water changes state from liquid to vapor. And in that process, again, from a liquid to a gas, in that process, 590 calories per gram is absorbed in the water vapor as latent heat. Okay, so now the water vapor is, of course, a gas, and it's floating upwards, you know, and it's water vapor, as the air cools, the water vapor condenses back into a liquid water droplet. The water droplet forms around these tiny condensation nuclei, like you know, little particles of soot and dust and you know, floaties that you see in the air. And of course, now all this added material, pollutants and salt from salt spray, et cetera. And as the water vapor goes back into the liquid form, it's condensing now, and that 590 calories per gram, which was latent heat that is stored, is now released as sensible heat. Okay, so that heat then, and we're talking, this is going on, you know, billions and billions of times, you know, in the atmosphere, in this air mass, this big air mass. And so this is what causes this heat to be released. And then the air wants to keep rising, and the storm gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And once you get this vortex, counterclockwise rotation, some of these storm systems, you know, which will include the cumulonimbus clouds and everything like that, start off as an easterly wave or something like that going from the east to the west off the west coast of Africa. And then some of these things form this big counterclockwise circular pattern called an extratropical cyclone, or called a typhoon or hurricane. And so this is what the mechanism is. Well, in fact, the military has figured out how to mimic nature and steer these things in a number of ways. Again, they can set up the conditions with lots of artificial now added water vapor into the atmosphere. They can dump these particulates, which give again the condensation nuclei, and then they can steer the whole thing a number of ways. But the main way is with directed energy weapons. And now, for those of who haven't heard of HAARP, it's one of the approximately 40, 42 ionospheric heaters. Okay, so what's the ionosphere? It's one of the upper layers of the atmosphere where you have a lot of ions, electrically charged atoms and molecules. And, you know, radio waves bounce off the ionosphere. That's how we get radio waves disseminated around the world. And radio waves are extremely low frequency waves. Well, we do the same thing through HAARP and these ionospheric heaters. We actually beam huge, up to a billion watts of energy through these electromagnetic waves up to the ionosphere, and then they can bounce back down to any point we want. The Air Force wrote a document in 1996 called Using the Weather as a Force Multiplier, Owning the Weather in 2025. Okay, they sometimes refer to that as the 25 document. Well, here we are, you know, 8 years before 2025. I think they have accomplished this already. One of the things they wanted to accomplish by 2004 was to develop what they call artificial ionospheric mirrors, where they make an electrical plasma, which kind of a much flatter, more controllable surface in the ionosphere, which would allow them to beam these wavelengths of extremely low frequency, long waves like radio waves, to the ionosphere, and then bring it down to pinpoint accuracy anywhere on the planet. This can be used not only to steer hurricanes and weather systems, like the, you know, it can steer the jet stream, it can steer the vapor rivers, which are 1 to 2 miles up in both hemispheres, and carry a tremendous amount of water vapor. With these 40 different, and then they probably also have mobile or units as well. And then that gets us into the next RAD, the next generation radar, which dotting the whole world now. These next RAD stations also give out Doppler radar and things like that, which also can be used when you have an electrified atmosphere with all these metallic oxides, metallic salts like, you know, aluminum oxide, barium oxides, etc. These can then be used. Now in nature, air is a very poor conductor of electricity. But now we've added all these electrically charged particles. So now air is a much better conductor. So this is the whole basis then by which the atmosphere has been weaponized. So we have, you know, now satellites that can direct energy weapons to anywhere on Earth. We have the HAARP and the NEXRAD capability. We have directed energy being given off by ground-based locations as well as sea-based locations. So the world now is, and of course we have these Gwen towers and things like that that are being used, you know, also for the mind control. So the world now is covered, saturated with electromagnetic radiation, we've weaponized all of the different frequencies and wavelengths of energy, and the military, which, you know, the American economy has been driven by the military ever since World War II and before, the military-industrial complex. So this is what's our new reality, and there are many good videos on this now. You know, go online, take a look. The information is not excellent on all of them, but I think it's getting better. And I think the videos that I selected on Hurricane Harvey give you a pretty good sense of how it was done. I'll stop there, Andy, if you have any comments.
Thank you, Eric. Yes, I mean, the way that you present the information, I think because you spent most of your professional life as a teacher, I only come in if I've got something that I can add, like the business with the boycott Israel situation. You don't get aid if you support that. So I'm really enjoying your presentation, and it's very important because you hear these different people and they talk about the weather modification, and you've actually gone through when it started, how it actually is done, and that's really, really useful. So what we'll do now, if it's okay, is I want to play one of your songs that you sent to me, because we're almost in the middle of the hour. So I'll mute us both. I'll just introduce this and you can give us any comments afterwards. I listened to it early today, really enjoyed it. It's called White House Blues, and here you go, everybody.
King George in the White House pushing folks around. In the back seat, polish and the crown, we're going down, going down.
Well, Bush 2 is in the White House, just passing tax reforms, giving trillions to his rich friends, and stealing from the poor. Don't blink your eyes, he'll sell the store.
Corporations in the Pentagon, just cooking up the wars. Condis in the State House, saying fuck you to the world, within the O'Connor.
Poppy Bush and Baby Bush and the Party of God. That spelled G for guns and O for oil and D for drugs. They gave us 911. Was an inside job.
George Bush in the White House spreading fear across the land. Tearing up our Bill of Rights fast as they can. War on terror, such a scam.
Well, Collins at the UN just showing diagrams. Can't you see those weapons just scattered across the land? He's making deals. He's shaking hands.
Well, Rummy's in the desert, got blood on his hands. Wolfie's at the World Bank, making new demands. We'll take your oil, you keep the sand.
We got Abu Ghraib in the Middle East, Guantanamo down south. Congress got that Patriot Act just shoved on down its mouth. They took our Constitution and threw it out.
Well, Karl Rove in the White House, and they say he's Bush's brain. All his corporate buddies and their voting machines. We cast our votes, they wipe them clean.
Shooting for the world with torture and police states and preemptive war. The Fourth Reich's here in America.
King George in the White House just pushing folks around. Cheney's in the backseat polishing the crown. We're going down, we're going down.
Excellent. Eric, thank you so much for that. It's nice to be able to play a bit of music on the show. It's not something I've done before. I think that we did it one time when you played the song live at the start of the show. Can you let the listeners know where this is available? Is it available on any albums on erickarlstrom.com?
Well, Actually, no. However, if people were to write me, I've got some copies. This is a CD that I made with a friend of mine who was also a professor where I taught in California. And of course, you know, people see what's going on, you know. And at one point, we sat down, we wrote this song. It came out really fast. What we did was we took an old bluegrass tune called the White House Blues, which actually starts with McKinley's in the White House. That's an old song.
Wow.
And we just rewrote the words. And had some fun with it and then recorded it and put it on an album that's called The Bluegrass Conspiracy, which was the name of our little band there. And now, you know, we're in different states and everything. So that band is no longer functioning. But it was a way of expressing, you know, the time. It was probably 2004 or something like that. Very frustrating to be aware of what's going on and living in this world where it is really fast and furious of all these psyops and all this violence and all this, really tearing up the Constitution. So, you know, Americans are not quite as clueless as you know, we might seem. You know, we see what's going on. We're just almost helpless to do anything about it, you know. And our government's been stolen. Certainly Bush, of course, coming from a crypto Jewish family who was third generation skull and bones, which I mentioned earlier. And, you know, I mean, this is a criminal government that we've got. And 9/11 seemed to be the, you know, kind of trigger point then for all these bogus war on terror wars and, you know, drastic domestic police state and worldwide police state that we've talked about. So, yeah, if someone were to write to me, I've got some copies of that and I could sell it. I've got about 14 or 15 CDs that I've made that are on my website, but that one's not on there. But as I say, I've got some copies of that.
Excellent. Thank you, Eric. And yeah, as I say, the only way that you can support Eric financially is by buying his music. So I would urge people to do so. And I'm sure we'll have another song for you next time that Eric is on the show. Now, we talked about, or rather you took us through, Eric, the background to weather modification, the science behind it, i.e. how it is done. And so I guess the next point to be tackled is... you know, examples of it. You've given Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Katrina. Why they do it, you know, it ties again. Does this all tie to gang stalking again? Over to you.
Well, I do think it ties to gang stalking. I mean, gang stalking is state-sponsored terrorism. 9/11 was, you know, state-sponsored. False flag synthetic terrorism. These are, actually all of them, are forms of unconventional warfare. Also called by the military in their documents, asymmetrical warfare, psychological warfare, political warfare, military operations other than war, information warfare. They just have a lot of terms for this. It's also called fourth generation warfare. And it uses this revolution in military affairs, which is directed energy weapons. And it's no longer state versus state. It's the state or the corporation, or the state and the corporation, or even maybe a rich individual like Bill Gates or something like that, against whoever. And of course, it can be used to punish and pressure adversaries, whether they are individuals who speak out too much, or whether they are nations who don't get in line. And of course, weather warfare has the advantage of being, you know, tremendously deniable. It's like, well, Mother Nature did it, you know, it's not us. And so it's very difficult to know sometimes what's what. But yeah, you ask for examples. Well, let's also make the point that HAARP and these ionospheric heaters and this directed energy, you know, I think that as our shows in the past indicate, I think directed energy weapons were used in the taking down of the Twin Towers on 9/11. I think directed energy weapons are also used to set off earthquakes in areas of, in, you know, kind of tectonic instability where you have a lot of strain built up along a fault line. And of course, this is known based on, you know, geological studies. Well, if we add more energy to that particular spot, you know, deliberately pinpoint, you know, tremendous amounts of directed energy there, then we can, you know, trigger an earthquake. And I think the Haiti earthquake is a real good candidate for that. I think if we can go back to the Tangshan earthquake of 1976 in China, which happened just a couple of weeks after the Russians started their woodpecker signal, which is also very similar and was used all over the United States to control our weather. I think there was a kind of an agreement, tacit agreement between the Russians and the United States at that point for the Russians to experiment with this stuff, which is funny because we were in the Cold War, you know. But that shows you the behind the scenes, double dealing that's going on. And anyway, in Tangshan, there were these tremendous light effects called piezoelectric effects. The night sky at 3 a.m. was bright as day. And when you get these harp lights associated with an earthquake, this is a pretty good indication that it's induced by directed energy. It's difficult, again, to tell Mother Nature now from these secret silent weapons, but there are kind of fingerprints. And I think the Tangshan earthquake, which is tremendously devastating, I think 1 million people were killed in that earthquake. Therefore, all this technology is great if you happen to believe, as many of our elite do, that there's too many humans and we need to, you know, start liquidating as many as possible. Well, this gives you a way to do it, which then is, completely covert and secret. And you say, well, we didn't do it, you know. But, you know, the fact is that Katrina was very much steered, and the response to Katrina was very much managed, just like Harvey. You want some more examples? Well, I think we've seen over the last 20 years some very huge earthquakes. We saw the Fukushima earthquake, which caused, of course, the damage to the nuclear reactor over there. There seems to be a correlation between these events and the fact that the governments where those countries, governments not in line with U.S. desires. You know, we've seen that in Pakistan as well, you know. So now it's possible then for these covert wars to be, this is really the warfare of the 21st century. This is, put this with the mind control and all the unconventional war, which is going on now in 134 nations that the United States is conducting, you know, Special Operations Command, unconventional warfare. That's in addition to 5 or 6 hot wars, which are going on now, you know, in the Middle East, all for Israel. So we have a world takeover program. We call it full spectrum dominance of space and cyberspace and, you know, top of the atmosphere to the bottom of the ocean, and including, unfortunately, and most onerously, the human mind. What can I say? I mean, this is evil. It's about as evil as you can even. Most people can't even imagine evil at this level, and this is being carried out by our super capitalist class that is profiting from it. So, if people go to my article here on Hurricane Harvey and they just scroll down to the first video, it's about 45 seconds, it's titled, "This is Exactly What a Geoengineered Hurricane Looks Like, Only Seeing is Believing." There's 45 seconds, which is a time lapse of Hurricane Harvey, the radar imagery, and it shows Harvey going off the Gulf of Mexico, which of course is where it got its energy from the latent heat of condensation, and it shows it making its way two-thirds up towards Austin over Texas, and then doing something that natural hurricanes don't do. It stops, and then it reverses itself and goes back out to the Gulf of Mexico, where it, of course, gets juiced up again and picks up speed. And then it kind of just kind of hovers along the coast right next to Houston, where it dumps, 50 to 60 inches of rain and causes dramatic, disastrous flooding and loss of property and life, et cetera. Well, when hurricanes go from the sea, where it's just their energy source, to the land where they're cut off from their energy source, they rapidly dissipate, the winds go down, and then now you've just got this huge wet air mass and you tend to get lots of rain. And then the storm tends to move north and then gets caught up with the mid-latitude storm track going from west to east, which girdles the middle latitudes in the northern hemisphere here. And it would go off to the northeast. Well, this hurricane stops, and the radar shows it. And then if you go to the next video down, there's a perky blonde, pretty weather engineer lady being interviewed on TV. And she said, well, we decided to set up a blocking pattern where we put a high pressure dome on both sides of the hurricane, and we stopped it. That's how it stopped. They stopped it and then they knocked it back out to sea. Okay. Well, you know, she's, you know, kind of talking about that being a good thing. Well, that's not a good thing. I mean, if that hurricane had been allowed to run its course, that is to say, just to keep going, it would have done a lot less damage. So now we see that this technology is being used as a form of state-sponsored terrorism. It's, of course, is terrifying. You have huge evacuations. Many people are displaced. You've got these FEMA boats now coming into the harbor or the area just off of Houston. And people are saying, don't get on those boats, you know, you'll never be seen again. So, you know, this is psychological. And it, just like with the mind control, you have explicit terror, which is to the ones who are actually affected, and implicit terror to everyone else. In other words, look what we can do. And that was exactly what we saw when the towers came down. You have explicit terror to the people who are getting killed or who are on the scene, who are absolutely terrorized. And then you have implicit terror to the rest of the world. Look what we can do. We can do this anywhere we want. And look, the same thing with gang stalking. You know, the gang stalking, the targeted individual is getting, you know, the directed energy weapons, the harassment, et cetera. But the implicit message is, you know, don't go off the reservation. Don't say what he said, or else we can do this to you. You see, so this is terrorizing the whole world.
Thank you, Eric. And I just had a thought. Of course, the real enemies that we're being told in the Jewish media of America are Iran and North Korea at the moment. Now, could America use a weather weapon against those countries, or do they need something, an actual base like a HAARP, you know, the one in Alaska? Do they need something in that country in order to generate the weather of that country, or can they fire something at it as a weather weapon from, you know, a facility that they've got in America?
Oh, absolutely. They can create drought, and I think they have done, you know, in Iran and places like Cuba and places, well, right here in Colorado, you know, I mean, right in California recently. I mean, the food supply of the world is pretty important. And of course, growing of food requires water. So if you can, it's kind of like a siege, and, you know, in the old days, you lay siege to a city, you can create a 10 or 20 year drought by steering the jet stream and the storms away from that locale. So this gives the weather engineers, or the weather terrorists, as some people call them, an enormous clout, droughts and floods, et cetera, can be used to bring a nation to its knees economically and every single way in terms of the food supply. So your question is good. I tend to think, of course, North Korea and Iran are the designated bad guys. But I think that this is almost theater, you know, in the sense that we've got to have people looking in the wrong direction in order to advance our agenda here.
Yes. And what are your thoughts on the Planet X situation? Because the dates that I had, I mean, we're recording this show, folks, on October the 25th, so unless it comes since then and you're not hearing it because it's whisked us all away, I was told dates, I think, between the 5th and the 12th of October, then the 23rd of October. Someone else just said to me it could be the 30th of October, and another guy was sometime in November. I mean, any credence to the Planet X situation, and If so, is that still a threat or is it not, in your opinion?
In my opinion, no. In my opinion, this would be hype. Something could radically happen to prove me wrong. But from the things that I've read, you know, there's not enough gravitational pull with this object, you know. But we have many, many things that we worry about all the time. And of course, that's part of this, you know, anxiety they want to create. I mean, states control populations through fear and terror and deception. And, you know, by deception, thou shalt do war is, of course, the motto of the Mossad. And, you know, even going back to Sun Tzu, never, you know, use your troops when you can use deception, you know. So we are living in a sea of deception and terror to keep us in fear and to keep us in ignorance. And this is why I can't just go off into the quietly and just play my banjo, you know. I've got to do this stuff, too. To try to set the record straight, especially in this area of that I know, and of course my own research has been on climate cycles, so I know the whole man-caused global warming thing is propaganda. I know I know the political goals of it, and maybe we can talk about that pretty soon. I think it's very important. But, you know, this is used as an excuse for geoengineering. And, oh, humans are causing radical warming of the planet. So, therefore, we have to save the planet from, you know, from our driving around in our cars and, you know, polluting the planet with carbon dioxide. Well, these are just tremendous lies, because carbon dioxide, of course, is only a trace gas. 4 in 10,000 molecules in the atmosphere is carbon dioxide. And it's a miracle gas. It's the basis of photosynthesis. So if we were to double CO2, which, you know, would be a boon, because then we get a little more plant growth and we'd have no deleterious side effects whatsoever. Politics has hijacked science and has hijacked my science, climatology, and it makes me a little riled up, you know, so this keeps me going. So one lie, this false premise, then becomes the basis for all this. Well, now we need to manage solar radiation. We need solar radiation management, SRM. So we're going to have to put, you know, more clouds up in the atmosphere, which means we have to do all this chemtrailing and we have to do all this cloud whitening. Bill Gates is paying for the Silver Lining Project, where they, you know, take these boats and they pump seawater into the atmosphere. And that, of course, what happens is that now you got lots of extra water vapor, which can be used to make more clouds. And you have the salt spray, which makes the condensation nuclei. So now you have whiter, brighter clouds, and that blocks the solar radiation. Well, what really drives the climate, of course, is the sun. 99.999999% of the weather and the climate and biological systems are, you know, based on the sun. That's our energy source. That's our star. You know, it is a average size star, and that is the energy system of our planet. And to get us to believe that, you know, we're wrecking the planet and therefore we have to dim the sun and reduce the incoming solar radiation by, some say, up to 20% now. Well, that's really bad. That's really evil, because we absolutely require the sun. So we don't have the same kinds of skies now. And all this premised on some really profound lies. And it works, again, to the advantage of these disaster capitalists and the people who want control. Let me just read what a couple quotes. Former Secretary of Defense William Cohen. Now, that's an interesting name, huh? Cohen.
One of those coincidences, as David Duke would say.
Yeah, right. Anyway, he was at a counterterrorism conference. Of course, terrorism and counterterrorism are the same thing. Sponsored by former Senator Sam Nunn. He said, others are engaged even in an eco-type of terrorism whereby they can alter the climate, set off earthquakes, volcanoes remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves. So there are plenty of ingenious minds out there that are at work finding ways in which they can wreak terror upon other nations. It's real, and that's the reason why we have to intensify our efforts. Well, we've been at the forefront of all this stuff. Let me just make a couple more Here's Paul Johnson on man-caused global warming. The idea that human beings have changed and are changing the basic climate system of the Earth through their industrial activities and burning of fossil fuels, the essence of the Greens' theory of global warming, has about as much basis in science as Marxism and Freudianism. And we know where those ideologies come from, right? Global warming, like Marxism, is a political theory of actions demanding compliance with its rules. Marxism, Freudianism, global warming. These are proof of which history offers so many examples that people can be suckers on a grand scale. To their fanatical followers, they are a substitute for religion. Global warming in particular is a creed, a faith, a dogma that has little to do with science. If people are in need of religion, why don't they just turn to the genuine article? I like that quote. I've got a million quotes like that on my website from smart people. So it's not that we're all stupid. It's that the media is controlled. Now, look at this. This coming from the Royal Society. I'm going through my own PowerPoint here. Royal Society, 2009, Geoengineering, the Climate, Science, Governance, and Uncertainty. And this course coming out of England there. It says, this is the official definition of geoengineering. Deliberate large-scale manipulation of the planetary environment to counteract anthropogenic climate change. Of course, that's man-caused climate change. So right there, embedded in their definition of geoengineering, you know, they assume there's a huge problem, anthropogenic climate change, and that this is the solution. Both of those assumptions are incorrect. So the Royal Society, I'm afraid, has fallen prey to politics. And this is what happens. Science beats politics. I've discovered in my 30-year academic career, science is controlled by funding, grants, etc. Here's what President Lyndon Baines Johnson, is kind of well-placed, quoted in his book, Lyndon Johnson, Master of the Senate. He said, control of space means control of the world. From space, the masters of infinity would have the power to control the Earth's weather, to cause drought and flood, to change the tides and raise the levels of the sea, to divert the Gulf Stream and change temperature climates to frigid. Well, the climate, of course, system is huge, is extremely complex. There's still a lot of debate and uncertainty in the real scientific world as to, you know, how the whole system works. Humans are still a relatively small factor in terms of our industrial activity. However, the Air Force and these other people are very, very determined to control the short-term weather. I know our time is short here, Andy. Let me just really make a distinction. Weather is the day-to-day changes, you know, in moisture, temperature, et cetera, winds. Climate is the average pattern. So often we talk about climate change, a lot of people have a hard time distinguishing weather from climate. So I think maybe we should continue this discussion in the future. But I think we got the basic points across that geoengineering is the reality, that global warming is a fraudulent piece of man-caused global warming is a fraudulent piece of propaganda, which serves several political agendas that we should talk about.
Thank you very much, Eric. Yeah, it's been an excellent show. Really went through the ins and outs of weather warfare and these weather weapons and how they work, etc. We've got about 4 or 5 minutes left. Is there anything else you would like me to hand back to you to run through that we haven't covered?
Well, again, this is a system which needs to be looked again at the full spectrum dominance goals of the, you know, the masters of the universe, as Lyndon Baines Johnson likes to call it. You know, all these secret mind control operations like MKUltra have been ongoing since World War II. I think the point of convergence here, it really is HARP, High Active Frequency Auroral, that's the Aurora Borealis, research project, which is up in Gakona, Alaska. It's just a series of antennas, an array of antennas, which can beam these extremely low frequencies of electromagnetic radiation up to the ionosphere, and then these can be bounced back to any other place. Well, these many of these wavelengths are in the frequency, same frequencies and wavelengths as the human mind. You know, we're talking, you know, in the range of 0 to 50 hertz. And so, in other words, these weather weapons can also be used to affect the moods and mind control entire regions of the planet. So there is an overlap. And there's a guy named he's written a couple books about HARP. Jerry Smith, I think. And maybe it's not Smith. But anyway, I've got the books. And he made the case that he thought the principal function of HARP, really, and remember there's 42 other ionospheric heaters like HARP. HARP's just the biggest. Is actually mind control. So we're not talking about just controlling the weather, which of course is important when the Air Force wants to do it, because it's a, you know, it's a force multiplier. Can be used on the battlefield. We're also talking about the capacity to affect people's minds and moods and incapacitate people with these wavelengths. So again, it's all kind of a package of full spectrum dominance.
Thank you very much, Eric. Yes, and also I'd like to point out for the listeners that if you ever want to download, say, for example, all of Eric's shows, then if you just go onto my website, andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com, and then you the search box is somewhere on the right as you scroll down, just type in Karlstrom. I know it sounds quite simple, but I actually only stumbled upon this a few months ago, and it's my own website. It goes to show how I'm not very tech savvy. And then it'll bring up all his shows. The only problem is it also brings up the coming up on the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock show posts, of which Eric would have a show coming up. But if you just go to the posts with the shows starting off the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock show and the relevant number, you can go into each of those, and then you would make sure that you get all of the shows I've done with a particular guest. Also in that, before we go, Dr. Nick Begich, of course, I had him on the show, and Eric, you'll be familiar with him because he did the work on HARP as well.
Right. Yeah, and I would just leave with the point, as we started, you know, that this information is on some websites I have. I've been talking today about basically information from a post I have on my 911nwo.com website entitled Hurricane Harvey Was Weather Warfare and State-Sponsored Terrorism Directed Against the American People by the U.S. Government or its sponsors and partners and affiliates both here and abroad, as we've mentioned, and also the PowerPoint that I have on three of my websites. It's called Man-Made Climate Change in the Skies. It's a PowerPoint presentation that goes through the history of the patents and the laws and whatnot of geoengineering, and that's on my naturalclimatechange.us site, as well as my 911nwo.com site and my gang stalking mindcontrolcults.com website. All these things are connected. Again, state-sponsored terrorism, full-spectrum dominance. And we know, based on our previous research, that these weapons are being used to bring down the nation states, to get us into a one-world government and the Jewish universal empire, Jewish utopia. There have been so much, and I will document this on my 911nwo.com website, as well as my gang stalking mindcontrolcults.com website. The financiers have taken over. It is the plan of the Bavarian Illuminati, which is this very, very powerful secret Jewish secret society. And Israel's, leading the charge, both in the United States and Israel and elsewhere.
Thank you very much, Eric. I look forward to having you on in the future. We've got another show booked already, so I want to thank you for being on the show today. I want to thank everyone for listening. I'll be back with you all soon, and bye for now.
You have been listening to the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show on TBR Radio, brought to you by the Barnes Review. Andrew's book, The Synagogue of Satan, is now available on his website, andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. An updated, expanded, and uncensored edition.